Erev Tov, everybody. We are in Parashat Balak. Balak. No, not yet. Chukat, yes. No, not together yet. They're still on Chukat now. We didn't do a shiur last week. We can do a Chukat also. But we go to Balak.
In Sloden we do.
Okay, Balak. There is a very important point that we have to talk about. Every time I come to this parsha, I think about it. We don't really think deeply enough about all the figures we see in the Torah. Concerning, today we think somebody who doesn't believe is not going to make the mitzvahs because he doesn't believe. And somebody who believes, surely he will do the mitzvahs. But it's so wrong to think like this. And the proof is very simple. The whole Torah we're reading, we meeting figures that not only believe in God, they're also at a level that they can talk with God. And somebody who can talk with God, what would you think? How would he behave? Would he make God happy? Or would he make God angry? What do you think?
Happy.
Sure. And here we see a guy that talks with God. Bilam Arasha. And they say, Lo kam b'Yisrael kemoshe od navi umabit. Says there was nobody in Am Israel like Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara asks, Am Israel? What do you mean? Umot HaOlam, they had somebody. The Goyim had somebody. Who was this guy? Bilam Arasha. So the first question we ask when we think about it is really, can we really compare Bilam to Moshe? Can we?
No. We shouldn't.
So how can we? How can we even? The thing is, they say, if the Goyim will come, and they say, yeah, when the Geula will come, and God is going to reveal himself, they says, Bichochma, you gave Am Yisrael Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why they went in the right way. If we would have somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu, we also would go in the right way. So God is going to tell them, I gave you. Who did he give them?
Bilam.
Or what do you think? Is Bilam like Moshe Rabbeinu?
Not exactly.
Some rabbis.
Exact opposite.
It's exact the opposite, yeah?
No, some rabbis say that he had the potential to be like Moshe Rabbeinu.
He didn't have the potential.
No.
He was at the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mm-hmm. The point is that when we say he had the potential, we think that this guy didn't get to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mm-hmm. But from our point of view, he got to the level. You know, normally when God is not talking with prophets in the middle of the day. And here if we look carefully in the parsha, it looks like whenever he wants to talk with God, he really talks with him. Not like Moshe Rabbeinu, but really, that's what's happening here. He says, they come, they ask him, I have to ask God. Then in the middle of the day, an angel reveals himself to him with a donkey in the whole story. The thing is that we normally look at Moshe Rabbeinu at a high, high level and at Bilam HaRasha at a very low, low level. And we think it's because of what they are. But 1 minute. If God says he gave Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam the same thing, so what is the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu got to that high level and Bilam HaRasha got to this very low level?
Because Moshe Rabbeinu was very modest. And okay. Bilam was very arrogant.
Yeah, but let's understand a little more, because what happens when Am Yisrael are sinning in the golden calf? What is Kadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Rabbeinu? Red ki shichet amcha. Go down because your people sinned. And our sages explain to us, it says, Red migdulatcha. Go down from your high level. Why? Did Moshe Rabbeinu sin? No. He is the same level. Who sinned? The people.
Yeah.
But now we understand something. There is a connection between the leader and the people. It's not like the leader is something over there, up there in the sky, and the people are down here, not connected. They are connected. And I so connected that if the people are evil, the influence is going to get to the leader. There is a connection. That's why Bilam HaRasha is Bilam HaRasha. Because he was a leader of corrupt people. That what they wanted to do is like Balak. Balak calls Bilam HaRasha and asks him what to do.
To curse Israel.
And I would ask you, if you have a problem with somebody, what would you ask first? That God will save you. Mm. Not that he will kill him. Think about it logically. A Jew, if he's got an enemy, first thing is, save me from my enemies. Atzileini miyad oivai. Then you can ask other things. But the first thing is, why doesn't Balak ask for peace?
That was the difference between them, because Moshe used his potential for good, and Balak used Balaam.
Also Balak. Balak is just to see who we're talking about. Balak also, you have to understand, Balak is bringing sacrifices to whom?
To God.
Those two figures, they pray to God, they talk, like they bring sacrifices to God, and they accept God. They expect God to listen to them. To listen to them do what? This is unbelievable.
But I don't understand.
Yes.
Always this in life, when you have in the school, there is a child that is a leader. But if he is a leader positive, all the children will do positive things.
Yes.
And if he's a negative leader, no, let's lie, let's curse someone, then all the children goes, and he's a leader from these children, the children do what he wants. Now you said, Bilam was a leader from corrupt people. No, the people was before, it's not he was the leader, but they were corrupt.
With no connection with him.
Without connection?
Okay. Bucha toa deino Eloheinu melech haolam she'akol niya mitbaru.
Amen.
Amen.
Very good question. And the answer is that's exactly the idea. If your environment is a good environment, you would not dare to do evil things. But if your environment is an evil environment, you would not dare do good things. Think about it. If where you live, people are going in a certain way. For example, let's imagine to have a place that everybody goes with red shirts. Would you go with a white shirt? No.
No.
In a place that everybody goes with a white shirt, would you go with a red shirt? No. I can go with clothes, you know, if everybody goes half naked. And that's what's happening, unfortunately. In other words, there is an influence. The Rambam talks about it, of course. In other words, what the Torah is trying to teach us, if you think that the leader has got nothing to do with the people and the people's got nothing to do, as you want to say, with the leader, this is a mistake to think like this. Because if the leader is corrupt, it means that the people are corrupt. If the people are corrupt, the normal thing would be that the leader will be corrupt. And by the way, unfortunately, it happens also today. Very good people come to politics. And you meet them 10 years later. And you cannot recognize the guy. Did it happen to you? It happens every day.
After they come out of prison.
We read.
In other words, and you think, why? He was such a good guy. The point is, the minute you are connected, and you have to understand, Yetzer Hara doesn't sleep. And the minute it's got this opening to try and do things, Bilam HaRasha comes to God and says, I want to curse Am Yisrael. God tells him, no, you're not going to curse Am Yisrael. And then again, and again. Then he comes and he blesses Am Yisrael. And while he blesses, the Gemara tells us that in the blessing are the curses. And by the way, one of the most famous blessings of Am Yisrael is Matovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkenotecha Yisrael. You know it? Mm-hmm. Who gave us this blessing? Bilam HaRasha. Which is also a puzzle. This Rasha, this is a blessing we have to get from a Rasha, but that's exactly the point. If you praise yourself, it's not a big deal. But if your enemy praise you, oh, that's another thing. So if the guy who wants to destroy you stands up and admits that you are the best in the world, what do you think? Are you the best or not? If your enemy tells it, who is not going to believe? In other words, the Torah is showing us that even our worst enemy, when he looks at Am Yisrael, he realizes how good they are. And now, why do I speak about this? Because we see Am Yisrael sinning all the time. And what did I say right now? That Moshe Rabbeinu is connected to the people. If Moshe Rabbeinu is such a great guy, it means that the people are also great. So how do we explain this? Do we understand what I'm asking now?
Yeah.
Okay, what I say is okay, okay. But now, let's do in reality, in real life, what happens is Moshe Rabbeinu is up over there and the people are really not connected. So how can we say that they are connected? The real truth is that they are connected. But they are at such a high level as Moshe Rabbeinu that every small thing that happens to us looks like a terrible thing because that's the way the Torah is telling us. But the Torah, what, for example, if we want to understand it, if I go in the middle of the street and eat a falafel, it's not a big deal. Enough, if I sit and eat a falafel and wash my hands and bench, oh, the people will say, Kiddush Hashem, look at this guy sitting. But if you see Reb Chaim Kanievsky sitting in a falafel, what would you think? What would you think? Sitting in a falafel outside, I mean, in the middle of the street, sitting and eating, like, didn't tell your dime and everything, sitting eating falafel. Sepasnish! How can you? It doesn't go! And that's the point that we have to understand. It depends who you are, because sometimes things you do, and from the other side, you see this kid sitting there in the falafel and benching. And doing Tilat Yadayim, wow, Kiddush Hashem. But if one of our sages would sit there, that's, why are we talking about Reb Chaim Kanievsky? Talk about the Rambam. Imagine to yourself, Moshe Rabbeinu sitting in the middle of the street eating falafel. This is Chilul Hashem, not Kiddush Hashem. In other words, it depends who you are and what you lever. Now we start to understand that if Moshe Rabbeinu is the leader of Am Yisrael, and there is a connection between them, which means if the leader is great, the people are great. We have to look in a different eye on the sins we think that we know. And the real truth is, we talked about in the past, that if we try and dig into it, we'll find out that all those big sins were really, first of all, being made by a few people, sometimes even one guy. Like with Yoshua in Jericho, one guy took something and Kodesh Baruch Hu says, the people sinned. But one guy sinned. Kohen Gadol. When he dies, all those in prison or in Ir Miklat, those who killed by accident, are being released. As long as he lives, If he's got long life, they're going to stay in this prison or this Ir Miklat. It's not a prison exactly, but still, they cannot leave the place. Why? What's the connection between Kohen Gadol and this guy who killed by mistake? Because the Kohen Gadol is the one who is in charge on the holiness of Am Yisrael. And if in his days somebody is killing somebody by accident, something is wrong with his leadership.
So when the time when the Kohen Gadol is changing nearly every year, the people are coming out of prison, or I don't know what...
You see, it's a very interesting point. But it was such a terrifying, like they say with the leprosy. If you remember, it's a leprosy. If the whole body is with leprosy, what happens?
He's clean.
He's clean. Yes. So if he's got leprosy here and leprosy there, leprosy
everywhere,
he is tame, impure. But if he's got leprosy all over, suddenly he becomes pure. Why? What's the idea behind it?
Same as Sanhedrin, the very 100% you people say, vote for something.
It's like you say, the Kohen Gadol died every year. It's not a good sign.
No.
If the Kohen Gadol dies every year, it means that the level is so low that it really doesn't matter if those sinners are going out of the Ir Miklat or not. Because we're talking about a very low level. Now, we understand, first of all, and we have to be very careful when we talk about this generation of the desert. Because all those sins we're seeing and hearing about them, and sometimes we talk so much about them, we have to learn from it. But don't forget for a minute that we're talking about people at a very high level. Because who was the leader? Who are our leaders?
Tzadikim.
Yes. Brik Tzadikim, we have our leaders. Which, unfortunately, I'm sorry to tell you, that's exactly the situation. And that's why when the goyim will come and say, you didn't give us a leader like Moshe Rabbeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, he says, I gave you, and look what happened. I gave you a guy that got the potential of Moshe Rabbeinu. What did he do with it? Corruption. Evil thing. Oh, he did it. What do you mean he did it? He did it because you are corrupt. He is your reflection. So, no excuses. And this guy, you have to understand, is so corrupt that at one point he says, a lot to talk about the parsha, but unfortunately we haven't got so much time. So let's see, where is it? The first time that he's coming to curse Am Yisrael and he's blessing them, look what he says in Pasuk Yud, Perek Kaf Gimel, Pasuk 10. Got it? You see, we talked about believing in God and still sinning. And we think that this sounds impossible. But that is the real example. And why? How does it happen? Because Yetzer Hara is very clever. And he convinces us that we are on the right side. And what is really a lot of times disturbing our clear mind is the society we live in, the environment. And look what this guy, which we understand and realize, that he is not just evil, he is very evil. Mi mana afar Yaakov u'mispar et rov Yisrael, and then he says something unbelievable. Tamot nafshi mot yesharim, u'tehi achariti kamo. I want to die like them. Straight. And my end should be like them. What is the end of people from Am Yisrael? What's the end? What is the end of us?
There is no end.
In other words, it's a new beginning. We go to Olam Haba, to the next world. So what is Bilam HaRasha? What does he want? He wants to live like a goy, but die like a Jew. To do the mitzvahs? Not for me. I want to do whatever I want, all the sins of the world, but when I die, please God, I want to die like Am Yisrael. I want to have Olam Haba. Do you understand what this guy is saying? In other words, he is so corrupt that he got to a level that he believes that he is right in what he's doing. And by the way, we see it all the way. Because the first time God tells him, when he comes and says to God, people came to ask me to go and curse Am Yisrael. What is God telling him the first time? You don't go. Now, would you ask, if you are 100% healthy, would you ask the rabbi, can I eat on Yom Kippur? What do you think? Would you ask a question like this?
No.
Now, what is Bilam HaRasha asking? You know, I want to curse your children. What does it sound? This guy is crazy. You asking our Father in heaven to give you permission to curse us, his children? What do you think? What father would let somebody curse his children? No father. But that's what he's doing.
Why ask permission?
Because he cannot do anything. You see, this is the interesting point. That he knows that he cannot do anything without God.
Ah.
Of course. He said, that's what he says to Balak and his messengers. He tells them, I cannot do anything if God doesn't tell me to do it. I can do only what God is telling me. That's what he's doing. He's, instead of cursing, he's blessing. So we see it's happening. Now that's why he knows he cannot go and just... He knows God. He says, Yodea Da'at Elyon. That's what he says on himself. I know what God wants. I know God. I talk with God. He's a prophet. He knows God created the world. But still, he wants to go against God. Then God tells him, okay, you go. But you go and you do exactly what I'm telling you to do. But he says, check. I'm just going very briefly on the episode because we've got no time to go into all the psukim. But check before if it's for your own benefit. Of course, Bilam HaRasha, he's not checking anything. He just wants to go and try and curse Am Yisrael. Though God is telling him, Adavar asher asim beficha oto tedaber. You are not going to say whatever you want to. Only what I'm going to tell you. Now, we look at what's happening and we are really little puzzled because 2 minutes later, he goes and what happens? An angel comes and stops him with the donkey, the story with the donkey. We all remember the story. Yeah. And I don't understand. But God gave him a permission to go. So why is the angel stopping him? This whole parsha is really very hard to understand if we try to understand it as a normal story. Because it's not a story.
It's being tested all the time.
God is really trying from one... It's very interesting. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh talks about it and he gives a brilliant idea. He says, why did God in the beginning tell him not to go and then tells him to go? Well, what's this game? Is this a game? And then an angel comes and tries to stop him. What's going on here? And the Or HaChaim says a beautiful thing. He says, if God would let Bilam HaRasha go as he wants, people will think that he can do whatever he wants to do. From the other side, if God is not going to let him go, people would think that he is afraid of the curses of Bilam. Because maybe Bilam's got power. Because if God controls everything, so why does he care that he goes? So look how God did it in a brilliant way. From one side, he showed everybody, Or HaChaim says, the leash of the dog is in the hands of the master. When he wants, he drags the god, and when he wants, he lets him go. We don't know, but go on the street with this thing. Mm-hmm. When you want, you let him go. When you want, you. That's what God wants to show everybody, to the goyim. When he approached him the first time, he says, now you go to them. He says, no, you cannot go. Why? Because God holds the leash. I cannot go. I'm not allowed to. Then the next day, he says, you go. He says, why does he go now? Because God doesn't care. God wants to show who controls. Now God lets me go. Let me to go. But you will now understand that God is not afraid of Bilam. Because if he lets him go, he's got no power. Then God wants to really, at the end of the day, this guy is a prophet. This guy talks with God. So God wants to give him all the benefit that he can. So he's trying to warn him. And he brings the angel. But Bilam is so enthusiastic to curse Am Israel. And deep inside he knows it's impossible. So he goes. And God, in this story, three times, which is like Yetzer Hara, how it works. They say it's like the Kivsat Arash with David HaMelech, that the guy who had a neighbor who had one sheep, and a rich guy came to visit, and he went to the neighbor, took his one sheep that he loved and cherished, and slaughtered her in order to give this visitor, his guest, to eat. And in the same pasuk, the guest is being called in three different names. The first one is somebody who goes around, the Elech, then as a visitor, Oreach, and then as a Balabait. That's Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara in the beginning, he walks around, tries to go in. You can tell him, I'm sorry, you're not going to go in. Then you let him in as a guest. And when the guest is in, he becomes the Balabait. Those are the three stages that Yetzer Hara works. And those are the three stages that the angel stopped the donkey. The first time, it was in the middle of the field. You can go back. It's no problem. You can get rid of Yetzer Hara. Don't go. Then it's between two walls. But there is, if you try hard, you can still go back. Then it becomes so narrow that you cannot move not right and not left. That's when Yetzer Hara is already on control. And that's when God reveals the eyes of Bilam, and he suddenly realized there was an angel there. And he says, why? You don't want me to go? Innocent Bilam, you don't want me to go? The angel says, yeah, you're going to go, that's it. But derech she'adam rotze lelech molichim oto. God warns us. But when we are insisting on going on the wrong way, what's happening then? God leads us in the wrong way. Because for everything, there is a certain limit. There is a point of no return. A point of no return is when you get and there is no way to turn, not right and not left. And the only way is to go on your rotten way that you chose. And that's what the Torah is trying to tell us. God wants the good of us. But in each one of us, there's a Moshe Rabbeinu and a Bilam and a Balak. And when we see something we like, Bilam starts to talk. But God is trying to warn us. So he puts obstacles on our way. Unfortunately, we want it so much that we try and reach it. And then we have to be very careful not to get to the point of no return. And that's where Bilam got. He got to the point of no return. And he didn't curse on Israel. He gave them only a blessing. And Sheikh Nesta Chazal wanted to put the blessing in Tfilat Shmoneh Esrei. Unbelievable blessing. Unfortunately, this shiur today is short because I have another shiur, so I have to get there. But I think that we learned an interesting lesson about what we saw in the parsha. That if the leader is good, so the people are good. And if the people are good, the leader is good. If the leader is corrupt, the people are corrupt. And if the people are corrupt, the leader is corrupt. There's a connection between the leader and the people. And we learned that if Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of this generation, it means that this generation was a great generation. And if Bilam HaRasha, knowing God and still going against it, teaching us a very, very strong lesson that you can believe in God, you can even talk with God and still go against God. Why? Because you are corrupt. You are influenced by the environment you are there. And this is why we have to be very careful when we decide where to live and what to do and how to do. And be aware of this war we have inside us between Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam. And be aware that if we go in the wrong way, God loves us. He's going to show us that we are wrong. He's going to try and teach us. He's going to put obstacles on our ways. Unfortunately, sometimes we want this thing so much that we try again and again. And then, suddenly, the way is free. Because we got to the point of no return. So, we have to be very careful. And check ourselves here once in a while. Are we on the right way? Or chas v'chalila, we are running after desires like Bilam HaRasha. And as we learn and as we see, there is always for Am Yisrael a way to come back to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Be'ezrat Hashem, as Bilam HaRasha says, Matovu olecha Yaakov, mishkenotecha Yisrael. Shkoye.